We know that you care about us. And no matter what goes on in this world, we know that you are watching over us. Sometimes you weep with us, and sometimes you laugh with us. And sometimes you're just quiet with us. And so we ask that as we look into your word this morning, that you give us that whatever we need, that your Spirit would just move in our heart, that the Spirit would give us what we need, that would the Spirit would move and lift us up and challenge us in our faith as we look at these things today. So Lord, I commit this time into your hands. Pray that your Spirit would move in my heart and allow me to speak what needs to be spoken. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This week, you can't help but notice what's going on in the world. And as I thought about the condition of this world and what's happening, this particular scripture came to mind. And before we get to the scripture, though, I want to just kind of share a few of the things that are happening. We've seen the world and even this country becoming more and more wicked. In our own state of Wisconsin, in Madison, there's an organization called Freedom From Religion. Their goal is to eliminate all references to God from society. They claim 29,000 members covering all 50 states. It's not the only group that is seeking to eliminate God from society. There's atheist groups and others. There's even pastors who have left the ministry to join these groups and their cause. So how does it happen? You know, is there really a reason that should cause us to doubt? Are we wasting our time? Is this just a futile effort on our parts? Paul touched on that, and I want us to go to that scripture before we go to the main one. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is where I want you to go. That's 1749 in the Pew Bible, 1749. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to start in verse 14, and then we'll skip down to 17. Verse 14, it says, "And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith." And verse 17, it says, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. And then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. If there is no resurrection, if Jesus isn't who he said he is, then we're just a club that gather on Sunday and go through some motions and speak about God." Paul addressed the world's condition as well, and he addressed that in Romans chapter 1, and that's 1708 in your Pew Bible, 1708, starting in verse 18. It says, "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness." There's individuals out there that want to suppress the truth, push it down. We see that in the world and in this country, in fact, in operation now. They're suppressing the truth. They don't want any part of the truth. They want to promote a lie. And, you know, last week or the week before, I talked about fake news. Well, that's about as fake as you can get. Is to say there is no God. Creation was evolved. And we're going to get to that in just a little bit. But in verse 19 through 20, it says this, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. These individuals, in verse 22, it says, although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. You know, they have to introduce millions of years to prove their theory of evolution, which there is no proof for. There is nothing that has proven evolution. In fact, Louis Pasteur, Louis Pasteur, never will the doctrine of spontaneous generation recover from the mortal blow struck by this simple experiment. And what Louis is talking about is he did an experiment that proved that you could not create life. It just didn't happen. And this was back in 1846. And so he called the theory of evolution utter foolishness. And yet, Dr. George Wald, his quote is up there, and it's quite lengthy, but I want to read the whole thing because I want you to see exactly how the evolutionary believers think. There are only two possibilities as to how life arose. One is spontaneous generation arising to evolution. The other is supernatural creative act of God. There is no third possibility. Spontaneous generation, that life arose from non-living matter, was scientifically disproved 120 years ago by Louis Pasteur and others. That leaves us with only the only possible conclusion that life arose as a supernatural creative act of God. I will not accept that philosophically because I do not want to believe in God. Therefore, I choose to believe in that which I know is scientifically impossible, spontaneous generation arising from evolution. That's what the evolutionists are. In fact, one last quote from Scientist Magazine in 1955 said, from the probability standpoint, the ordering of the present environment into a single amino acid molecule would be utterly improbable in all the time and space available for the origin of terrestrial life. In other words, it's impossible. And yet, they continue to promote it and believe it. And we'll get to that a little bit as well. It's amazing to me that they have gotten so foolish because they want to promote their idea and believe the way they want to believe. Verse 21 of Romans 1 says, for although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. They exchanged, in verse 23, we already read 22, that they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man, birds, animals, reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Verse 26 and on covers what they are doing. And we see this in our world today. They've given up their desire for the opposite sex, and now they desire the same sex. And now we have, you know, the marriage has been redefined. We've got controversy over transgenders and bathrooms and which way to go and who's what. And now you don't want to dare call somebody a he or she because that's offensive to those that are whatever in between. And so they want to be called something different. And I have no idea now. I'm completely lost and confused in this world's philosophies. And so God lets them go. In verse 26, he says that God gave them over to shameful lust, even women exchanging natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain knowledge of God, He gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. And they became filled with all kinds of wickedness. And we can see that happening in our today's world. Not only this, but look at verse 32. Although they know God's righteous decree, they know it, that those who do such things deserve death. They not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. And so Dr. Wald produces books, and other evolutionists produce books and writings based on a theory, but promoting it as fact, so that they can encourage others to do the same. And they approve of all these things. Where are we going? Well, God's wrath, as verse 18 said, God's wrath is against them, is on them, and they will suffer the consequences. You know, it's a sad day when we even see pastors abandoning the faith and going to organizations that have no idea. Why has that happened? Well, I have my own theories about that. I believe that an individual he could be a pastor, he could be a missionary, but that doesn't mean that they believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. That doesn't mean they have the Holy Spirit within them. And so what I believe is that they just promoted the Scriptures because it was a good living and it felt right and they liked it for the time. But then as they began to be challenged in their faith with certain issues, trials and tribulations and things that the Bible tells us we're going to go through, and then they abandoned the faith. They didn't really have a faith that was there. You remember the sower and the seeds, you know, some seed fell on rocky ground, some fell in the thin soil with weeds and got choked out. You know, and that's exactly what's happened to these individuals. They didn't have a substance of faith. It wasn't very deep. And that's exactly what can happen if you don't get into the Scriptures. If you don't allow the Holy Spirit to infiltrate your whole soul, mind, and spirit. The Holy Spirit and Jesus must gain access to every part of you. Open up to everything. There was a comedian skit, you know, back in my day, 100 years ago, there were comedians, and these comedians did skits and things, and one of the skits were where they had this Jesus knocking on the door and opening it up and things, and this guy invited him into the house, and then he says, well, what's in this room? And the guy says, oh, you don't want to go in there. And Jesus says, well, yeah, I actually do want to go in there. And he says, no, you don't want to go in there. And, of course, the door is open and all these things start falling out. And Jesus says, what are these things? Oh, nothing. And he's picking them up and there's these little thrones. And on the thrones, they have my free time, my money, my car, you know, different items. And he says, why are these there? Well, I don't mind you having the whole house, but this is mine. I have this, and this is mine. And Jesus says, but I need to have it all. Because if you can't give it all to me, then I'm not on the throne. And if Jesus is not on the throne of your life, you know what happens? It gets all jumbled. Everything gets all jumbled up. This principle works every single time. you are on the throne, your life is in disarray. It's all jumbled up. You're having troubles all over the place. But if you put Jesus on the throne of your life, if He's in charge of every area of your life, all of a sudden things start falling in place and things get put in order. It's kind of like when I married Kathy. Yeah, confession time. She said, "You know, your car was a disaster." And so she was cleaning it up and everything. Finally, we traded in. It was a lost cause. And now we have this other car. And she says, "My goodness, I let you in this car for a day, and it's a disaster in here." She's cleaning things up, pulling tissues out of areas and wiping down the console. And what did you do here? And I go, "Well, that was just chocolate shake, you know." And so everything was just a mess. And Kathy's cleaned it up and put some things in order, and now I find myself wiping crumbs off the table, and I do that, and she still comes to the table and goes, "There's crumbs all over." I said, "Where? There's no crumbs. They're microscopic." So that's just the way that works. Yeah, we won't talk any more about that. So Jesus, in the same way, when He comes into your life and you open up every area of your life, He'll organize it. He'll clean it up. He'll get things back to where they should be. But you have to give Him your heart. You have to give Him every area. So I want to do that. And then after I pray, I forgot Jadine's going to come up and she's going to share a couple things. She came here to do that specifically, so she can come up after I pray and share those things before we do our last song. So I saw you back there and I remember that. So let's bow our heads and pray and really be thinking about where Jesus fits in your life. Let's bow our heads and do that. Father, I ask You to search all of our hearts, that Your Spirit is moving right now. Where two or three are gathered, You're here in our midst. And so I know Your Spirit is moving, nudging, speaking to us. I pray that we would be searching our hearts to see where does Jesus fit in? Is He on the throne, or am I pushing Him in the corner somewhere? Am I letting Him have every area of my life, or am I keeping some of those areas to myself? Not allowing entry into those areas. Lord, I pray right now that those of us that are holding those areas away would pray right now, "Jesus, I open up my whole life. Every area of my life I yield to You. I want You to enter into all those dark places. I release ownership of all the things that I hold on to. I give them to You. They belong to You now. I do not want any part of my life. I have died to myself. And I release them into Your care. I ask You to take it all, to order my life, to guide me and give me wisdom in all the things that I do. Thank You, Jesus." And Lord, I thank You for so many people here. And I pray that if we're having struggles, maybe not even a Christian, maybe our faith is not deep, Lord, I pray that You would minister to each and every one of us. Draw us closer to You. Help us and urge us to seek You in the Scriptures and through prayer and Bible study. Lord, thank You so much for each one here. We pray now that You bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Jadine, you're on.